broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July 26th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, baby. We use the blueprint. Wow. Yes, indeed, baby. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. It's incredible the hard work the founders put in to bless us in our lives. We're incredibly appreciative of the checks and balances they provide for us. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you're doing fantastic. A quick recap of Saturday's show, ladies and gentlemen. It was an incredible broadcast. First off, it was day four of Freedom Fest. Sam live from freedomfest.com. Are actually live from, Rapid City, South Dakota. If you can't attend in person, the streaming option was available. Great stuff. Anyway, we had a fantastic time at Freedom Fest. It could not have gone better. Federal court rules, CDC's COVID-19 eviction moratorium was unlawful. Jack Phillips, the Epic Times with the piece. The CDC flat out engaged in federal overreach and got caught. Wow, that's exactly what they did in the Richard Mack case too, huh? We're seeing case after case after case where the federal government's flat out of control. Yeah, they need to be stopped. We had our guest on, Mr. Eric Madsen, founder and trustee of TeamLaw.net. Team Law was created to help people learn the law so that they can save the republic. Yeah, it takes a lot of work to get that done. That was hour one of the broadcast. Hour two of Liberty Roundtable Live, we had on our guest, former sheriff, current county commissioner in Elkhart County, Indiana, Brad Rogers. Brad, obviously, a phenomenal guest. Brad was great. He broke down the responsibilities of a sheriff. We talked about the constitutional county sheriff based upon the rule of law. Can they interpose against the IRS? Brad says a resounding yes, indeed. In fact, he wishes on his watch he could have been the first sheriff to arrest IRS agents for being belligerent, but the opportunity didn't afford itself. What does it take for the opportunity to afford itself, you might ask, you might wonder? Well, first off, you got to have a citizen that's willing to take on the battle. The sheriff can't just run around crazy. He represents citizens, right? How can the county sheriff and the police chief work together and coexist? Brad gave several examples of that. It can be done, ladies and gentlemen. We talk about one sheriff stands up for the people that he serves. Mike Meharry, 10th Amendment Center, as constitutionally sworn law enforcement officers, county sheriffs have the power and authority to interpose on behalf of the citizens they represent, seeking to face down unconstitutional exercises of federal power. That's what it takes, good citizens in partnership with our sheriffs every time. We also talked about George Soros gives $1 million to defund the police movement as violent crime rages across the country. We talked about that live on Saturday from the incredible Freedom Fest event in Rapid City, South Dakota. That was amazing. And, you know, if you weren't there, wow, you missed out on something cool. It was really, really good. Let me just quickly document while we're waiting for our guest, Lowell Nelson, to join. Richard Mack and I were on a panel on Saturday. It was a general panel. Busted. Is the justice system permanently broken? And the answer is yes, it is. And we had four people on a panel, myself, Richard Mack, and two lovely ladies that did a phenomenal job. One was a well-known attorney, and the other one worked regarding justice support, relief, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, it was a great event on the panel. I feel we did a good job. Bob Barr, former congressman, current attorney, etc., was the main guy that was the moderator for the event. But he asked us a variety of questions, and the answer we all came to is yes, the justice system's permanently broken. And then we spent time on what we believe can make the biggest difference. Richard Back obviously said the county sheriff, backed by the American citizens, could make some of the greatest differences. Because the county sheriff's elected, not appointed, and he answers to the people that elected him. And if he learns to work with his constituents and he gets together a great sheriff's posse, that is the answer. That is one of the great solutions. And I think Sheriff Mack's right on that. One of the other ladies that was an attorney brought up a phenomenal point, and she said, hey, you know what? The power of a fully informed jury is incredible. And we need more of the fully informed juries to not only judge the people before them, the cases, but to judge the law. When the law is wrong and abusive and everything else, you can stop that. It's kind of one of the last lines of defense, if you will. So she said that. Her name was Catherine, great attorney. And then there's another girl there named Hannah that kind of really pointed to a lot of the problems in our criminal justice system as well. Anyway, it was a great, great focused panel. And my main point at the panel was, hey, yes, indeed, the justice system is permanently broken. There's no doubt about it. Unless, and my unless basically focused on turning to God above government, the American people repenting. I highlighted that if we repent and turn to God Almighty, he promises us, biblically speaking, he will heal our land and protect us. Because Bob Barr highlighted a lot of the reasons that we're losing a lot of our rights and that the justice system's off the rails is, hey, they always want to protect and keep everybody safe. And, well, if you want protection and safety, turn to God Almighty. So I focused a lot on that, on this idea that we need to turn to God. And that's one of the biggest ways we can reject the justice system being permanently broken. The second way I highlighted is family. You know, everything in America we want to believe is just solved by politics. We got to have some bureaucrat, some attorney, some lawsuit, some, you know, political divide, some petitions, some. And I just submitted to you that turning to God Almighty and turning to your family is not political, and that we don't need political solutions every time. And I highlighted that family is the fundamental unit of society. It's not government. It's not community. It's not school. It's not work. It's not bureaucrats. It's not parties, partisanship. It's the family. And really, society is just a mirror of the family. And if the family is melting down, society will no doubt be the mirror and meltdown as well. But if the family is strong, then society will be strong. So I promoted turning to God, not government, and turning to the family and making the family strong. And I highlighted de Tocqueville's reality that America was great because America was good. He meant good. There was a gazillion laws in de Tocqueville's time. Not there's a gazillion laws in our time. But there is a situation where back in the day there was not a gazillion laws. He says, look, almost everything was legal then. But nobody did it because it was against their moral compass. It was against their families. It was against what's the difference? The answer is the morality in the people based on God and family. So if you want to fix the country, look to the two greater pillars. That would be God and family. That was the summary of my contributions to the Saturday panel. The justice system busted. Is it permanently broken? We all agreed that it was, but we pointed out powerful solutions on how we could fix it, from fully informed juries to the county sheriff, America's last hope, we the people backing our sheriffs, then to my proposals, which is turn to God Almighty and focus on the family, if you will. There were other suggestions along the way, but I think it was a powerful panel. I really do. And that's a recap of Saturday's broadcast and the details of what we were doing at freedomfest.com. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, jumps on your radio. Welcome to the broadcast, my good friend.
It's good to be here, Stan. Thank you for having me.
Man, there's so much to cover. Did you keep an eye on Freedom Fest at all?
No, did not have my finger on that one, fam.
Wow, there was 3,000 people in attendance. We had some incredible efforts from sheriffs standing on the stage with a sheriff's breakout panel to an incredible Friday night Loving Liberty CSPOA dinner. We packed the house, had too many people, had to put chairs up against the back wall. The room was so full. And we hit it out of the park. Sheriffs literally said, we're committing right now before the public and before the world. If bureaucrats from the federal government and or the state try to come into our county and not obey the law, commit criminal activity, they will flat out be arrested. Literally four sitting sheriffs were saying that kind of detail at this conference. It was tremendous, tremendous stuff. Really educational, really bold. They're nullifying by standing for the truth. They give stories of examples when they backed off the feds. They give stories of and examples of even when their county commissions are going against them and how they're standing strong and tall and doing a great job. It was amazing to see, Lol.
Oh, that is fantastic, Sam. I'm so encouraged to hear that. That's exactly what needs to happen.
CampaignForLiberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org. It is Lowell Nelson with me, ladies and gentlemen, always doing a great job for Campaign for Liberty. Political Leadership School, we mentioned it for several weeks, but we want to really give the final push. It is this Saturday, Lowell.
It is. So this is the final week. You can sign up for it because it's going to happen this Saturday, July 31st, in the Salt Lake Community College in Sandy, Utah. That's the one that is right here in Utah. Now, these schools are all over the country, as we've been mentioning. For example, this school on the 31st is not the only one in the nation. There's one in Cincinnati, Ohio, one in Springfield, Missouri, and one in Gainesville, Florida. And then there are 14 schools next month in August.
All over the country, ladies and gentlemen. You got to dig it in Utah this Saturday. We'll talk more about it in seconds. Lowell Nelson, Sam Bushman, you are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we're talking about the Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership, ladies and gentlemen. And they have a goal, and that goal is to help conservative citizens like you and me understand how the political process really works in America, and how you can use this knowledge to make real change at the local, state, and even the federal level. These schools are all over the country. Political Leadership School happening right here in Utah, July 31st. That is this Saturday. Sadly, people always take till the last minute to sign up, right, Lol?
That seems to be the trend, yes. But so the class is about a third full. We've got room for 40 more people. So if you're listening to this and you're near Sandy, Utah, if you can attend this Saturday, please register right now. because we're going to be getting lunches. We need to put in that order by midweek. So you got to register today to attend this fantastic event in Sandy, Utah this Saturday.
Sam. As I always like to say, get her done.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
now,
that's right.
The goal of the foundation for applied conservative leadership is really important, and this is why it's happening all across the country. Explain a little bit who this group is, this Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership, because I think it's really important to kind of understand the backing for this, right?
Well, yeah, it is, Sam. You know, back in the 1990s is when the core of training for this group developed. Mike Rossfeld was key in that process. If anybody's familiar with Morton Blackwell, they know that he runs the Leadership Institute, same course, same type of material, very well respected among conservative activists. If you want to push politicians to do what they should be doing, which is to protecting your rights, to securing your freedom, then this is really how it's done. Because politicians are predictable, and knowing and understanding the dynamics of politics is key for activists, successful activism. And so they want liberty-minded citizens like you and me, Sam, to be informed, to be educated, to be trained. And that's what these classes are doing all over the country. The success stories, you can go on the website and just read some of the success stories that these people have had that were, you know, changing the decision of a school board or of a county commission or a city council or a state legislature. They are many. And because the students that go out and effect this kind of change, we actually are winning battles for liberty, and we're holding back the tide of tyranny that would have swept us off this land already had it not been for this type of instruction, Sam.
And win oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, is a little different than you might think. Let's say 1,000 bills go before a state legislative body in a given year. That is pretty much the case in Utah. Let's say 500 bills typically get passed. That means 50% of them fail. To us, a lot of the stopping of bills that could come to the forefront and be passed fail because we stand against them. That is a huge win, although you might not get individual credit for each of the wins that we have. Because in a session of 60 days or whatever, like Utah, if there's 500 shutdowns of some bad bills, we get a lot of gains, although we never highlight them completely. We should. We ought to. I mean, it's hard. So that's an example. Another example is oftentimes we win because, you know, let's say there's 20 issues in a given bill. I know they should be single issues, one subject at a time act. I know. And I know they should be short, single-page bills, one-page bills and stuff. But when you get these big bills, let's say there's 20 things in there, and we basically get 5 of them gone completely, and another 5 we get where it's not as bad as it could have been, so to speak, you could say that's a loss because we passed the bill. But I would say there's so many wins in there that it's shocking. So oftentimes it's really difficult to highlight the wins enough to make people realize how much behind the scenes work is really done and how much we really did gain, even though it seems like, oh man, we lost a lot. Again, it's running interference. It's standing for liberty. And a lot of times those wins are very hard to kind of categorize and understand. And the work behind those wins is even more difficult to really appreciate, Lowell.
Good point, Sam. You know, the gold and silver that's legal in Utah today came because of good activism. Larry Hilton authored the bill, the bills, there are a number of them, but basically, you know, removing the capital gains tax on the exchange of gold and silver coin, making gold and silver coin legal tender again, once again, in the state of Utah, so you can buy it and sell it without capital gains taxes. And so forth. I mean, it's legal in Utah. Now, there are numerous states around the country that are following suit. That is an example of activism that is restoring liberty. You know, Thomas Jefferson said the ground of liberty is to be restored one step at a time or one inch at a time. And it does take time. We've lost our liberty incrementally. We've got to restore it incrementally as well. We'd love to do it in one fell swoop, but that just tends not to be the case. It tends not to be the way things happen.
And I say the same thing slightly differently. I say one heart, one mind, one issue at a time quite a bit. And that's the same principle that Ron Paul is speaking of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. the Olympics, a wonderful thing designed to try to get nations together and let people know that we're all human, and that takes us a long way, and it has in the past. But, man, things have changed. Lol.
Well, you know, my family loves to watch the games. We especially love the gymnastics during the summer games, the ice skating during the winter games, and many, many other sports, of course. This year, however, Sam, I was utterly, I had no interest in watching the opening ceremonies once I saw how people were masked up. You know, my interest in watching the competition is markedly reduced as well. Well, why? Because it's a masking theater. I mean, they're on the stage, the world stage. We've got all these people wearing masks. And there's no crowds in the venues cheering on the athletes. These athletes have put their heart and soul and hours, hundreds of hours, into training for these marvelous Olympic events. And their families can't even be with them, can't even be in the stands cheering them on. And because of that, it's the theater, the way it's all set up and being broadcast, it's broadcasting to the world this this submission to this worldwide authority, this health authority, this new technocracy that, you know, that's more important than being together, being out there. They're denying the sacred blessing of an immune system in the human body. I mean, there's just so many, there's so much wrong with what they're doing, but they're making very public this idea that you have to mask up and you have to avoid one another. I mean, aren't we done with this already? I mean, this is a year and a half old theme. It's a sickening thing.
Well, and here's what's interesting. Not only has it become the biggest masking theater on earth to show the world that they're in clear submission, but what, they're not even letting fans attend this thing like usual and everything else, denying the athletes their support. I mean, it's just, this just really destroys human love and respect and appreciation and association and all things that humans thrive on, lol.
It sure does, Sam, and that's what's so disappointing about it. Obviously, I'm excited about the athletes and their competitive abilities. We watched Simone Biles and the USA women's gymnastics team, of course, last night. We watched the swim team. We watched all the skateboard. I mean, lots of wonderful athletes competing. But it's all done under the auspices or in the setting of this this COVID scare, this fear-mongering that goes on over and, oh, I mean, day after day. It's incessant, and that's what's so disappointing to me about it, Sam.
Well, and now they told everybody that if you're vaccinated, you can take off your masks, but now they're saying because of the Delta, you know, D variant or whatever else, it's a kind of an outbreak. And now they're saying, well, by golly, we might have to even reverse our comment on that. So you got science just, you know, babbling around, political manipulations everywhere. It's not science. They're lying and they're dishonest about that reality, too, because how do you say, well, it's fine now to take off your mask? Whoa, hold on. Whoa, a new variant came. Everybody's got to put on their masks again. We're being manipulated, basically, ladies and gentlemen, by leaders that are on a puppet string. It's clear and easy to see. And we need to start literally taking off the gloves and saying, look, we're not going to tolerate this. And I was so excited to see the sheriffs stand up and say, look, we're not mandating masks. We're not shutting down businesses, and we're not going to force vaccines in our counties. We're just not doing it. So I was very encouraged by these sheriffs that I had the time to spend time with, eat dinner with, stand on the stage with, and really articulate this reality. What we need to do is make sure the American people back their sheriffs, back those who are willing to stand, because that's where the rubber meets the road. Speaking of that, in Sweden, it has become a shining example on a hill. Sadly, America should have been that, but I guess we got to give that title, speaking of the Olympics, to Sweden, huh, lol?
I guess we do, Sam. People haven't heard much about Sweden in the news lately. Well, they haven't, because the lamestream media doesn't want you to know what Sweden is doing or why Sweden ought to be in the news. Their 7-day rolling average for COVID deaths, Sam, is zero. It's nada, zero. And it's been zero for over a week now, Sam.
That's incredible, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about this when we come back from the break. But the headline says, daily COVID deaths in Sweden hit zero as other nations brace for more lockdowns. You get the picture? Lowell Nelson with details in seconds. CampaignForLiberty.org. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Saying that he is a part of the decision, Dr. Anthony Fauci on CNN Saturday says bringing back mask mandates is under active consideration.
We're seeing that in L.A. We're seeing it in Chicago. We're seeing that in New Orleans because the officials there, many of them are saying, even if you're vaccinated, it's prudent to wear a mask indoors.
Fauci did not say whether or not he supported mask mandates for the vaccinated. Although the pandemic put school life on hold in the spring of 2020, some parents are grateful it happened. They're now opting to homeschool their children, even as school plans to resume in-person classes. The U.S. Census Bureau, which reported in March that the rate of household homeschooling their children rose to 11% by September of 2020. It was just 5.4% of American households 6 months earlier. Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
They're calling it the new socialism. More and more Democratic lawmakers want everyone to get a basic income, even if they don't work. Free health care, free college, and more. Now, every night this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax pushing back on the new socialism and its leaders like AOC and Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden's spending programs are already costing you trillions as inflation is soaring. If you care about your money, you need to watch Rob Schmidt tonight. Find out why socialism doesn't really work and how it actually can cost you a lot. Get Newsmax TV on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them and demand Newsmax or you can switch. Also, find Newsmax for free on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Or download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch it anywhere. More than 30 million Americans are tuning into Newsmax because it's news they can trust.
Gasoline prices continue to go in the wrong direction. John Clemens reports.
At $3.14 for a gallon of gasoline is 5 cents higher than last month and 95 cents higher than a year ago. Meanwhile, Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us gasoline consumption continues to increase.
Overall, though gas prices have decreased slightly in the last week, the trend may be short-lived. That, as U.S. gasoline demand surged to set a new 2021 record last week, rising 2.3% from the prior week to 3% above the four-week average.
Another problem running into the attack on fossil fuels, the airport serving northern Nevada, Reno Tahoe International Airport, faces a shortage of jet fuel that could force cancellation of cargo and passenger flights. Nevada Democrat leaders Governor Steve Sisolak, Senators Catherine Cortez Masto, and Jackie Rosen put out a press release saying the shortage is unacceptable. USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio. We're talking about the Olympics. What a shame shutdown. Yeah, the biggest political reality in America and around the world. What do you call it? The Olympics, the biggest masking theater on earth. They're literally trying to just gloat, lord over us as a global tyranny saying, look, we've got you all into submission. Never forget it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will never forget it. We will jettison that narrative. That's a lie. Proof in the pudding, daily COVID deaths in Sweden hit zero. And it's been that way for a rolling weekly average of zero. As other nations brace for more lockdowns, Sweden literally free. I wish America was taking the lead on this. We should be the beacon on the hill, but no, we got to give that title to Sweden. Sweden was maligned last year, big time, because it did not lock down, lol.
That's right. The Guardian, for example, called its response to the COVID thing a, quote, a catastrophe in the making, end of quote. CBS News said Sweden had become, quote, an example of how not to handle COVID-19, end of quote. And yet, what was their approach? Well, their approach in Sweden was to not lockdown, to not impose a mask mandate, to not close businesses, and to not close schools. So while Sweden took a lot of heat for its approach, its overall mortality rate, Sam, in 2020 was lower than most of Europe, and its economy has suffered far less. And what's the deal today? Well, Sweden is free freer and healthier than virtually any other country in Europe. You know, they didn't lock down. They're like South Dakota, like Florida. They didn't lock down, and their countrymen, their citizens are far freer. They're healthier, and look at that overall mortality. The 7-day rolling average now has been zero for about a week now in Sweden.
Here's the interesting part, in my opinion, Lowell. It would be one thing if people who didn't know the truth went different directions on this. So Sweden said, we're not going to lock down. America said, we're going to lock down hard, right? It would be one thing if those two nations went their own way in the early onset of this, not really knowing scientifically what the best choice was. But at the end of the day, a year and a half later, it is clear what action should have been taken. And if we would now start to take the action of Sweden, I might have a little bit of respect saying, hey, those who felt like they were in authority made choices and da-da-da. But now that we know the truth, Sweden's example becomes the shining light on a hill, and America becomes the example of shame. You would think that right now we would start to say, okay, you know what? We see. We get it. But all we're doing is doubling down in lockdowns. All we're doing is forcing this world narrative via the Olympic theater that everybody needs to be masked. All we're doing now is continuing in the way that we know clearly to be wrong. It's nothing more than the presence of evil in your face. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts writes a column on that very topic to hammer the point home, Lowell.
Entitled, The Prevalence of Evil. His excellent column you can find at lourockwell.com. It was posted just Saturday, just 2 days ago. And listen to this, Sam. He says this, the evidence is now overwhelming that we have been systematically and intentionally lied to by public health agencies that in reality are captured regulatory bodies serving the interests of Big Pharma by an incompetent and indoctrinated medical profession, by politicians, and by scum prostitutes. The alleged COVID pandemic is the product of a defective test. He's referring there to the PCR test. The alleged new outbreak consists of adverse consequences of the vaccine. The new outbreak is occurring among the vaccinated. Let me just interject here, Sam, that, you know, I rarely watch network TV, but I did last night because, you know, I was watching the Olympics. And so I saw that news break at 9:30 here in the Intermountain West. And what were they saying during the news break? They were saying that the outbreak of, this Delta variant or something of COVID outbreak was occurring among 99% of them among the unvaccinated. That is an outright lie, just blatant lie. The outbreaks are occurring more among the vaccinated than the unvaccinated, if you want to call these few dozen cases an outbreak. I mean, it's been pretty incredible. But getting back to Paul Craig Roberts' column, he continues, many highly credible experts have warned repeatedly about the official responses pandemic, and were censored. Those who stifled the warnings are mass murderers who should be arrested, indicted, and put on trial. I noticed, by the way, Sam, that Rand Paul referred Fauci to the Justice Department for indictment. And boy, I sure hope that thing gets legs. It won't, because it's the DOJ, but I sure appreciated Rand's doing that.
And it won't, because enough Americans don't back Rand Paul. Let me give you an example. The sheriffs say, we're willing to stand up for you, but you've got to back us, though. If we stand up all by ourselves, you know what? We're just going to get beat, and we're not going to be elected next term. And if that's what you want, then we'll just go out of office. But you know what? If the American people back their sheriffs, if the American people back their congressmen and senators, if the American people back good people that are doing right, just imagine if Rand Paul had 25 million Americans that said, we agree, and you better get it done. And they literally made their views known every single day, every talk show. Every congressman and senator's appearance, we literally double down on that, I'm telling you, we'd get traction. But without the American people backing those who are willing to stand up for liberty, that is, in my opinion, one of the greatest quintessential problems we have in America today.
And that's why it's so helpful, Sam, have all alternative media, such as Liberty Roundtable, to get the word out. Because if every one of your subscribers or listeners would call today and, you know, in support of Rand Paul, for example, and maybe their own state legislators, and ask them to round up the people who in the state have been espousing this dogma, this propaganda. I mean, it would make a big difference. So let's do that, folks.
I look at Rand Paul, and I appreciate his stance, and I completely agree with him. But where's Mike Lee and 20 other senators that are willing to stand by his side? Where's Mike Lee? Where's Ted Cruz? Where's, okay, and in the House, where are all these other people? I don't know. They seem to be just missing. But the presence of evil is really everywhere, writes Paul Craig Roberts, right?
Well, in the very bottom of the article, Sam, he refers to the database in Europe that's very similar to the VAERS database here in the U.S., in the United States. It's called the EUDRA Vigilance. It's a European database of suspected adverse drug reaction reports. Now, the reason I mention this, Sam, is because I had never heard about this database until this weekend when I read this column by Paul Craig Roberts. It's reporting an astronomical number of deaths and injuries associated with a COVID-19 clot shot, which is experimental gene therapy. That's the name I heard last week, Sam, clot shot. I love it because it's a degrading term. And it really isn't a vaccine, as you know, anyway. It's experimental gene therapy, and it does cause clotting problems. And so I call it the clot shot, Sam. Anyway, the data in this database, the EUDRA Vigilance database in Europe, the data shows 18,928 fatalities, Sam. That's almost 19,000 fatalities. And over almost 2 million injuries following COVID-19 injections through July 17th, just 1 week ago. And they come from four different manufacturers of the clot shot: Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and Janssen. And this comes, Sam, on the heels of news that an Ohio-based attorney, Thomas Rentz, who spoke this past weekend at a conference in Anaheim, California, announced that he was filing a federal lawsuit in Alabama based on a sworn declaration under threat of perjury from an alleged whistleblower from the CDC who claims to have inside knowledge of a cover-up of reported deaths filed with the CDC, the VAERS reporting system. This whistleblower claims 45,000 deaths were reported to VAERS all within 3 days of the clot shot. And I think the number of deaths reported to VAERS as of last week was about 10,000, right? So if 10,000 is what's in the database today, and this whistleblower is claiming actually 45,000 deaths. Well, this whistleblower, and if this whistleblower is right, then that just says that the CDC is deleting from their database many of the records that have been added. So to me, this is astounding, Sam. Well, you've got the database in Europe reporting almost 20,000 fatalities. You've got the VAERS database here in the United States reporting 10,000 fatalities, and a whistleblower saying it really ought to be 45,000 fatalities. To me, this is scandalous, Sam, that a product that's causing more than 50 deaths is left on the market. In fact, it's being urged upon the people by government. They're going door to door in North Carolina.
Not only urged, but virtually almost forced.
Yep.
And we were debating how much force will be exerted over the next few months and years. What a shame. We're also finding out that the J&J vaccines had a lot of promises to them that now are failures as well, and more. So there you go. Quick pause. Sam and Lowell in seconds.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The evidence is clear. We've been saying it forever, but now more and more evidence comes out every single day. They're lying to us on the cocoa reality of the virus. They're also lying to us on vaccines. And I submit to you they're gearing up to put vaccines and viruses as the center stage solution. That, along with climate change, to literally shut down your liberties, ladies and gentlemen. Next hour, I've got an article that's coming out. They're saying they now dug up a bunch of viruses, got them out of the ice. Yeah, thousands of year old viruses came out of the ice. Never seen before, novel viruses. And you watch one of these viruses and somehow, whoops, just get released or something. Who knows? All I'm telling you is they're fiction to scare you into oblivion via vaccination, via shots, via disease, via that's their big, because they found they can steal more liberty under that banner than virtually any other. They'll follow that up with climate change. Don't you know they got the viruses from the ice because the ice is melting and climate change, and by golly, it's on the heels. Look out, the prevalence of evil. Paul Craig Roberts writes the article. Very good stuff. We want to talk about Dr. Peter McCullough, too, before the end of the hour. Lowell?
We do, Sam, because this is an interview that you really need to watch. It's, I think, a 26-minute interview. I really like the style. The interviewer just asks very simple questions. He doesn't blab on and pontificate, but he just very serious, simple questions. And the Dr. McCullough, Peter McCullough, just answers those questions just straight, objectively, boom, boom, boom. Now, this Dr. McCullough, Sam, is a professor at Texas A&M College of Medicine, president of the Cardiorenal Society of America. He has 46 peer-reviewed publications on COVID-19 and is considered among the world's experts on the topic. Now, this Dr. McCullough, Sam, he practices medicine in Dallas. He was a proponent of the clot shots when they first came out. Well, he was a proponent until the numerous adverse reactions among his patients changed his mind completely. Sounds very similar to this. Remember that we talked last week about Charles Hoffa, the doctor in British Columbia.
That's right.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
The very same type of thing. He initially supported the clot shots, and then he saw the adverse reactions among his patients, and then he changed his mind. He said during this interview, he said initially they looked good, and then he says this. He says, quote, looking backwards now, on January 22nd, we had actually already had 186 deaths that had occurred after the vaccine. The threshold of concern is about 150 or so. In general, we get about 150 deaths for all the vaccines combined, 500 million shots per year across 70 vaccines, but for a single vaccine, it's dot, 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 he trails off. He says, I think if we had had a data and safety monitoring board, they would have shut down the vaccine in February of 2021. That's February of this year. Where are we now? We're clear into July. And the government is going strong and pushing this stuff on people. These clot shots, they're dangerous. They're killing people. Yeah, I mean, look back at the swine flu, Sam. 25 people died from the swine flu vaccine, and they shut it down immediately. And here we have the CDC now acknowledging over 12,000 deaths. Wow. I mean, Dr. Peter McCullough said that there are two important analyses came forward, one from McLaughlin in London and one by Rose, using the VAERS data, and they basically concluded this, that half of the deaths occur within
48 hours of the injection, and that 80% of the deaths occur within a week after the injection. And then the reason I'm mentioning this article, Sam, is you need to go, our listeners need to go to lewrockwell.com and get the article on Peter McCullough and listen to this 26-minute interview. It is absolutely phenomenal. They get into more detail about the clot shots, the systems that are adversely affected, meaning the brain, the heart, the immune system, and the hematologic system, meaning the circulatory or the blood system. And so if you haven't listened to this already, please do so. 26 minutes long, well worth the time, especially if you're sitting on the fence about the clot shot or if you have family or friends even thinking about it.
And it's time, really, no matter how you feel about vaccines, ladies and gentlemen, to let the information become transparent. And that's my biggest problem with these pro-vaxxer folks. You know what? When are you going to deal with transparent information and let people decide for themselves? No, you're into fear-mongering and force, which tells me you don't have evidence and reality on your side. You know that if people get this information, they won't want to get vaccinated. That's why you're pushing so belligerently and literally attacking the character of everybody else who's against them, et cetera, et cetera. I pray that Peter McCullough doesn't get shut down and fired, or, you know, I hope they don't try to derail his incredibly established career. But that takes real guts for a doctor to say, you know what, I was originally for them, but now what I see the evidence, the reality, I'm not anymore. These studies, late-breaking studies, are very, very important, but we need to be very careful. Look, let's just get the information out and let people decide for themselves. The fact is, Dr. Peter McCullough has got an urgent warning about the poisonous jabs. Beware, sit up, take notice, because you guys said forever we didn't have any evidence the vaccines were safe and effective. Now we're proving they are not. And therefore, that needs to stand as a big barrier to ever getting FDA approval on these experimental gene therapies. We need to really stand up, and now is the time for all Americans to come to the aid of their country and make sure that this evidence is so blatant, so clear, so transparent that they cannot ignore reality on it. All right, Ron Paul writes in the Incredible Column about Ed Exit to protect your kids from critical race theory. Lol.
That's posted at campaignforliberty.org, and he is saying what you've been saying for years, Sam. Get your children out of the public government schools. The way the schools are teaching critical race theory, the school children, is of great concern. And, you know, that's the topic today. Well, yesterday it was Common Core, right? I mean, yesteryear, and so on. I mean, so many reasons to get your children out of public school. And I just heard over the news break right here, Sam, that the number of homeschooling children has doubled because of COVID. And I think that was one of the hidden blessings, you know, the silver lining on the cloud of COVID, was that so many parents have realized that they don't want their children indoctrinated in these public schools, and so they're pulling their children out and they're turning to homeschool instead. I just wanted to make that point. Now, central to this critical race theory is the belief that free markets are a tool of racial oppression that must be abolished and replaced with socialism. Well, this is just dangerous nonsense, as Ron Paul says. History shows us that governments, not free markets, governments are always and always have been the instruments of racial oppression. Look at the Jim Crow laws, for example. Look at the war on drugs, the minimum wage laws, the occupational licensing laws, etc. All of these laws enacted by government harm minorities. And so they are the real racists. Government is the real racist in this country and probably around the world.
Well, there's no doubt about it. An article just came out where they're talking about how government has been giving non-whites more financial support to buy homes than everybody else as well. So the racist agenda of the federal government has become legendary and sat out all-encompassing. But here's the point. Ron Paul has a great solution for Ed Exit. Lol.
And that is to exit your children out of public government-run schools. Homeschooling is increasingly attractive option. And, you know, how do you do that? Well, you restore parental control of education dollars through education tax credits and tax-free education savings accounts. That's how you do it. You give parents the economic freedom to to take their children out of the public schools because for many, many parents, it's economically not feasible. But through tax credits and through tax-free education savings account, you can make that happen. And this can be done on the state legislature level, Sam.
Ron's right. Now is the time to strike as well, Lowell, because you know what? More Americans are realizing the truth on this than ever before. So while the COVID's still being pushed and everything else and people still want to stay home, and now's the time to push for these tax credits and these tax-free education savings account. This will enable parents to enable private and homeschooling for their children. Homeschooling become an incredible, viable option, more so than ever before, and Americans know it. Final story of the hour. I guess Ted Cruz sent Lowell Nelson a letter after Lowell wrote Ted on term limits, Lowell.
I have it right here in my hand, Sam. Petition for term limits. Well, you know, a lot of people like term limits. They think they like term limits, but I don't think they've really thought through what that means, what term limits would mean. Here, Ted Cruz wants my support for a constitutional amendment that would impose term limits on members of Congress. And he talks about the corruption in Congress and the career politicians there and so forth. Well, I think it's worth spending just a couple minutes on discussing the idea of term limits because we need to expose its dangers. And so I've listed here four reasons why I oppose term limits, Sam, and they are, and I want to get your input on them. Number one, we already have term limits. They're called regular elections. Number two, imposing term limits imposes a constraint on the citizen, right? We can't choose someone who's actually doing a good job. Someone like Ron Paul, for example, or Larry McDonald from Georgia. Mike Lee from Utah, right? I mean, these people are doing a good job, and so if we had term limits, we wouldn't be able to reelect them. That's a constraint on the citizen, on the electorate, not on the politician. Number three, the framers considered term limits at the Philadelphia Convention, Sam, but they expressly rejected them. They were in the Articles of Confederation, by the way. They had term limits in the Articles, but after a decade of using the Articles, the framers decided not to use them, not to put them in the Constitution. And finally, the lame duck congressmen are a great danger because they will be free to vote in all the socialism they want, knowing that they will not be in office once their terms have been served. And therefore, no amount of citizen pressure will be able to influence them. And can you just imagine, Sam, a lame duck U.S. Senator Mitt Romney for six long years? I mean, look at the damage that they could do if they didn't have the pressure of the citizenry on them. The reason they do heal to citizen pressure is because they want to be reelected, and so they have to their actions, their votes have to conform with what the citizens want, else they'll find themselves without a job. So that citizen pressure is very helpful in the cause of liberty as long as citizens get involved. One more reason I didn't list here, Sam, is because if you impose term limits, then I think the citizens will go to sleep thinking that, well, he's only going to be in for 2 years or 4 years or maybe 6 years, and then we'll get a better guy in. Well, the citizenry will go to sleep because they're relying on a mechanistic solution to the corruption in Congress instead of taking an active role and watching those people in Congress.
Really quick, I am 1,000% against term limits, and I'm going to give you the one quintessential reason why. The whole system of the United States is based on incredible checks and balances, and the American people have their check and balance at the ballot box. They also have their check and balance on who they support. They have their check and balance at the fully informed jury and more. We are the last line of defense, if you will. If you enact term limits, you take the American people much more out of the game because you all of a sudden get people leaving office, that revolving door, backed by vote fraud, backed by bureaucrats putting their people in with power and money. It is disaster. Our founders said you have a republic if you can keep it. Your job is not to rely on term limits to solve your problems. Your job is to be informed and make a difference and insert yourself into the political process. Thus, Lowell's Leadership School. This Saturday. Check it out. God save the Republic. Thanks, Lowell.